Welcome back to the Fantasy Flavor Podcast, where we're spicing up your daily dose of fantasy football content. Hey, what's going on, listeners and viewers of the Fantasy Flavor Podcast and YouTube channel? I'm super excited to be joined here with Trenton, as per usual, but we have a special guest here, and we're going to do a fantasy face-off, if you will. So here's Nick. Nick, do you mind introducing yourself, who you are, what you do here in the fantasy football community?
Yeah, hell yeah, man. What's up, guys? My name is Nick Anderson. I'm the host of the Down and Dirty Dynasty Fantasy Football Podcast, or as some of you might know it, the Triple D FFP. So we do exclusively Dynasty content. We come out with new articles, new podcasts, new rankings every week. Well, we don't come out with new rankings every week, but we come out with all that stuff every week. I try and keep you guys satiated with content. So if you guys jump over after this, they're going to be putting the link at the bottom of this. You can see the first half of our episode where we battled it out on some other players on my podcast. And if you go to YouTube, just type in Triple D FFP and the same thing on Twitter. Give me a follow. Give me a subscribe. Give me anything you got because I need it.
Yeah, all of us need it. We're all smaller creators here. So if you could leave a like if you're listening on YouTube, leave a comment, subscribe, you know, leave a 5-star rating on a podcast platform. That could really help us out. But yeah, let's definitely start here. So I have my little timer ready. So we're going to have 10 minutes on the clock, and we're just going to kick it off here. And our first fantasy face-off debate topic is the Fantasy Flavor Crew. We'll be arguing TJ Hawkinson, and Nick will be arguing Noah Fant. So let's start off here with the guest. Nick, why should people prefer Noah Fant over TJ Hawkinson? Your time starts now.
So first off, this is a win-win for me. My whole family's from Iowa. So when I get to talk about two Iowa tight ends, it makes my day. All right? So I'm excited about this. But when we're talking about Noah Fant, like the reasons why you got to go with him is the tight end isn't a vultured position because of the other weapons used in the offense, especially with a guy like Drew Lock. I know that Drew Lock has a cannon on him. I get it. Okay. But I'm telling you, he's not an elite quarterback in the NFL. I don't think that he's ever going to step up into the echelon of some of these top tier quarterbacks. And so he is going to need that tight end position. If we look over, we're talking about TJ Hawkinson. He's a tight end for Matt Stafford, who couldn't make Eric Ebron work. I'm just saying, those are things. But we look over at Noah Fant in the system. He had a great rookie season. I mean, and then also just beyond the rookie season, the stuff that he did with the ball in his hand. He's electric. He's a move tight end. He's got the moves. He's got the hands. He can make the yards after catch. I mean, I'm looking right here. It's yards after catch. I think it was like 350. I don't know. Lost my place. It's like 350 yards after catch. I mean, the guy is just electric. And I don't think that the addition of Judy accompanied by Cortland Sutton is going to vulture his stuff because Drew Lock is going to need that safety valve when he's looking to check down in that offense.
I think that's really well said, to be honest with you. The problem I think with Noah Fant versus TJ Hawkinson was Trenton will kind of get into more of why maybe they produce similar than we thought. Excuse me here, but there's so many weapons in Detroit, right? KJ Hamlin they drafted in the second round, Jerry Jeudy in the first round. You know, Drew Locke's always there, and Drew Locke is more unproven than Matthew Stafford. And all there is there to compete in Detroit really is Kenny Golladay and Marvin Jones, who are both really good, but Marvin Jones can't seem to stay healthy. I feel like every single year he's on IR by the end of the year. DeAndre Swift's there, Kerryon Johnson's there, but there's no competition for Hawkinson. He can be that alpha tight end. And if we're comparing the two of them, who was better their final year at Iowa? I'm pretty sure it was TJ Hawkinson. So that just shows you right there that he's the better talent. He was taken top 10 draft capital. Noah Fant, I believe, was selected 20th overall by the Broncos. So overall, I'm putting my faith into Matthew Stafford more than Drew Lock.
I will put my faith into George Kittle, who said that the tight end that he was more fearful of in the offenses was Noah Fant over TJ Hawkinson. I'm just saying, former teammate, talking about the guys that he's seen play out on the field, one of the best tight ends in the league, talking about how much he loves my guy.
I mean, I get it. Trent, do you have anything? No, let's open it up to you.
Let's start with the 16-game pace of TJ Hawkinson, just to prove that these two guys weren't as different as you think in their rookie seasons. PPR leagues, if you extrapolate Hawkinson's 12 games into a full 16-game slate and compare them to Fant's 16 games, PPR points is 107.6 for Hawkinson and 110 for Fant. It's a 2.4-point difference. So it's not that insane. Targets wise, this is where you look. This is where it's interesting to me, because you push his 12 games into a 16 game slate. He had 79 targets. So just about that 80 target threshold, which is a really nice threshold for tight ends. He was almost there compared to Fant's 16 games with 66 targets. Now, Fant did have a better catch percentage. The receptions over the 16 game slate was only around 43 for Hockenson compared to 40 of the 66 for Fant. So that catch percentage is there. It's just the targets. If the targets aren't the same, the catches don't matter. The percentage doesn't matter if they're not going to catch as much. Yards wise, Fant did beat out Hock in that category. He had 562 compared to the 16 game pace of 480 or almost 490 for Hockenson. Touchdowns, though, were almost exactly the same. Over a 16-game slate, both had just about three.
Go ahead. You're good. You're good, man. You're good.
digging into the competition, though, the Broncos added two wide receivers early in the draft. They want to use those wide receivers. Lions added one wide receiver, Quintez Cephas, on day three. Not really that big going in to be taking that volume. Neither did add another tight end in the draft, but both did grab one of those top tier undrafted free agent tight ends. But for competition overall, the Broncos have Cortland Sutton, who's only 24, Jerry Jeudy, who's only 21, and KJ Hamler, who's only 20. They have those young guys, so those guys are going to be there for the long haul, and he's going to have to compete. Fant's going to have to compete for those targets from those guys. Looking at the Lions, you have Kenny Galladay, who's 26. So he's decent. He's decently young, but he's not quite as young as Cortland Sutton, who's the other team's wide receiver one. You have Marvin Jones Jr., who's 30. He's getting up there. You have Danny Amendola, who's 34, as their wide receiver three. So those guys are going to be out before too long. There's going to be a lot less competition long term in Detroit, unless they start adding people, and which they obviously could, but as it stands right now, the Broncos have that competition, the Lions don't. Looking at the quarterback situation, like you mentioned, Locke is a big unknown. I mean, maybe he'll come out and perform. We'll have to see. However, Stafford is that veteran who we've seen put up a ton of garbage time numbers. Even if it is just garbage time numbers, those are balls that could be being thrown to TJ Hockenson.
Mm-hmm.
Guys like that, they're going to get volume just because the Lions offense is trash, or defense is trash. Sorry. But so overall, Fant does get more yardage after the catch. You did mention that. He does also somewhat get a bit more before the catch. So he is the more deeper threat guy at the tight end. However, Hockenson gets a lot more opportunity with less competition long term.
And so, I mean, I can't necessarily argue that they have fewer weapons in Detroit. But what I can say, and I think that I'm quoting you on this, is there's a chance that they switch to a more run first offense, right?
It's definitely possible, but you can say the same for the Broncos. They just brought in Melvin Gordon.
Oh, what a bum. Get out of my face with that. Nobody wants Melvin Gordon.
They still have Philip Lindsay. So both those offenses, they could switch to run first. They could be pass first. We don't know yet. We don't know with Denver because Drew Locke is a young quarterback. We don't know what he's going to do.
Right. Go ahead.
With the Lions, it could switch to run first. But at the same time, that defense is still garbage. So they're going to be passing. I mean, they're going to have to pass at least in the fourth quarter. That garbage time numbers is going to really help with Hock.
The one thing that I see as a benefit to the increased competition when we're looking at a Denver Broncos offense is that you have these field stretchers in Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy now, and it just leaves the crossing routes and the low ends wide open. I mean, the stuff where Noah Fant can make his hay is where those guys are going to be vacating and leaving wide open for him to eat. I mean, they're going to have to respect somebody in that offense, and it's going to be Jeudy or it's going to be Cortland Sutton, and it's just going to make a heyday for Noah Fant. But
it's going to be KJ Hamler.
I am not a huge Hamler fan myself, but it could be. I have watched an exhaust film, and there are two guys that I have not watched that much film on, and those two guys are the ones that I'm not huge on. So I'm sure there's a correlation there, but that is KJ Hamler and Brandon Ayuk. So those are the two guys that I am not super, super well versed in. But I mean, I do agree with everything that you have to say about the Detroit Lions. I mean, TJ Hockenson is an absolutely phenomenal talent. I see him as being one of those quick risers up through the ranks in the NFL because he has all of the physical capabilities and the offense to support it. I just hope that the Lions can start to use the tight end like it needs to be used, and Stafford can look to the tight end like he needs to be looked at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely agree there. I feel like that's all we really have to say there. So let's move on here to our next debate topic. And I think this one was kind of interesting when it was posed to me. This was actually Nick's idea here. And it's DeAndre Swift versus Kerryon Johnson. This kind of surprised me. So defend yourself. Why are you so high on Kerryon Johnson?
So, I need to preface this.
Yeah.
I am not higher on Kerryon Johnson than I am on DeAndre Swift, okay? DeAndre Swift is, I believe, my number 13 dynasty running back. And I haven't even gotten to where Kerryon Johnson is at on my rankings, okay? But the one thing that I can say is that Kerryon's not dead. He is 22.9 years old, and there have been multiple instances that we've seen in the NFL where these, you know, injury-prone running backs, or any position player for that matter, has just a string, boom, boom, boom. And then next thing you know, they come out the other side and they're healthy. At 22.9 years old, he is younger than an incoming Keyshawn Vaughn, who, don't get me wrong, I love Keyshawn Vaughn, but he is younger than an incoming Keyshawn Vaughn. This guy has got a full career ahead of him. And my hope is, my personal hope is that it's not with the Lions. Even if it wasn't DeAndre Swift coming in, I hope it's not with the Lions because they have been a detriment to every running back that they have ever seen in the last, you know, 6 to 7 years. So I'm hoping that he goes somewhere else, finds an offense that he can be a niche player in, because when he's on the field, the guy's electric.
I'm glad you said in the past 6 to 7 years, because I was about to get all mad about Barry Sanders.
Yeah, can't forget Barry Sanders there.
Dylan, what do you got?
So I just think when we talk about these two, Kerryon, you're right, isn't dead, because we can't predict the future. He could easily be traded to a team like, I don't know, what's a team that needs a running back? Let's say Gurley goes down, like the Falcons. Chiefs. Yeah, Chiefs don't need a running back. Get out of here.
Jacksonville once they get rid of Leonard Fournette.
Yeah, exactly. Like Jacksonville, and that could be really good for him, sure. But we don't know that. I want to go off of what we know, because in fantasy football, you don't have control over much. But those things we do have control over, those are super valuable here. So Kerryon, don't get me wrong. Fantasy Flavor Podcast loved him last year. Dude couldn't stay healthy. Detroit, you know, they know what they have in Kerryon. What do? They spend a second round pick on DeAndre Swift when they have about 50,000 other holes in a stacked running back class where, you know, Detroit Lions, they suck. And it's probably, honestly, Matt Patricia's final year there, if we're being realistic, which could be a good thing. It could be a bad thing. But, you know, listen, DeAndre Swift, here's the thing I want to do. A quick activity here. I want to compare the two. Coming out, according to Graham Barfield's yards created. So yards created per rush, Swift had 4.73, and Kerryon had 4.32. Carries that created 5-plus yards on a percentage scale here, 34% for Swift, only 14% for Kerryon. So he doesn't really have that juice there. Missed tackles per carry. Swift, once again, beats him 0.39 compared to 0.27. Yards gained per route run, 1.1 there for Swift. Well, 0.9 there for Kerryon. Probably their closest kind of comparison there. Pass protection execution. No one cares about this, but Swift was better in that regard too. My point
is... that is a crucial number that I care about. Okay,
you care about it? Sure. 90% for Swift, 60% for Kerryon. If you care about it,
right.
I just want to know if they're a good pass catcher or not. I don't need numbers for that aspect of the game. I don't think numbers do a good job there. But honestly, here's my point though. Kerryon hasn't given me enough in the NFL to be like, oh, these numbers don't matter. You know, to be honest, the guy hasn't stayed healthy, and they're both great college running backs. I both like them both. But the Lions have to like Swift more. They're not spending second round draft capital, 35th, 37th overall or whatever, just to be like, oh, on the other hand, we're just going to kind of give Swift like a few touches a game. The only argument you have for Kerryon, really, and we're not comparing them. We're kind of comparing them at prices. So Kerryon discount could be really good because they could be a committee there with Matt Patricia, but he might be gone
right
in a year. And in that case, Swift could be the guy to break out because I think he's more talented.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so I don't have any argument when I posed this battle. Yeah. It was more to accentuate the fact that DeAndre Swift is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. If you guys follow my Twitter page, did you see the video that I posted of Swift? I thought it was in fucking fast motion. Mm-hmm. I thought they were fast forwarding the video of him doing receiving work in that closed gym because he's so fast. Catching that ball one-handed. I mean, everything that the guy does, he does with force. He probably punches open his box of cereal because he's so brutally strong. And so, I mean, I love DeAndre Swift, and I'm super hopeful for his future with the Lions. But I want to make sure that everybody knows that Kerryon Johnson is not a dead running back. At 22.9 years old, having shown what he has shown on the field, despite the injury history, he's one of those guys that if you can get him for, I don't know, like a mid third round pick, high third round pick or something like that, you jump on that all day. If you can get him for a low end second, I'm not sure if I wouldn't take that just for the upside of it. I mean, who are you rather going to take a gamble on? Because I can tell you this, I fucking hate AJ Dillon, and I'd rather take a risk on Kerryon Johnson going somewhere than draft AJ Dillon. That's my hot take for the day.
Don't tell that to Trenton. He's going to go cry. He likes his big running backs. But
yeah, well, it's a big running back that I'm going to ask to move furniture for me, but not move a pile because that guy goes down on contact too easy.
What do you got, Trenton? Do you have anything to add to this conversation?
Yeah, DeAndre Swift, rookie draft profile.
Triple DFFB.
All right, I'll just let you plug yourself, but over there when we just finished our work over there, go check that out. By the way, after you get done here, go over to their page, watch that video. We break down three more sets of players, but over there I did bring up those rookie player profiles, and here I have mine for DeAndre Swift. I said this, Dylan knows I was saying this months before the draft. The player comp for DeAndre Swift for me was a young LeSean McCoy, young Shady. He's just that electric, that dynamic, that he just, I haven't seen anything like it since Eagles Shady McCoy. And just that guy that will make anything happen. He could be here one second and on the other side of the field the next. Mm-hmm. He's so elusive. It's just amazing. You did the competition. Yes, it is there. Kerryon Johnson. He does have 2 years left on the contract, though. So if they can't trade him, there still will be a bit of competition there for at least 2 years. However, there is the injury history. He has only played 18 out of a possible 32 games. Oof. So it's kind of iffy there. And he also, his receptions really dropped from 2018 to 2019. Mm-hmm. So he wasn't really used in the passing game. It dropped from, I believe, 32 down to 10 catches in 2019.
Yeah.
So, but for his back to the draft profile for DeAndre Swift, he has elite vision, cutting, and awareness, which is what I love in my running backs. he has elite plus burst. He has decent enough speed. He doesn't really have that home run threat speed.
But he did surprise you a little bit with that 40, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It threw me off a little bit with what he ran. I mean, watching his tape, I would have anticipated. And this isn't a knock on him because game speed is a different thing than, you know, underwear Olympic speed. I mean, Dalvin Cook, you would think if you watch him on film that he'd run much faster than he did at the combine. But it was just kind of something that took you aback a little bit.
Right. But at the same time, he doesn't have what we saw. He doesn't have that elite breakaway speed. He could be tracked down by those quick corners, those quick defensive backs. So it's not like he's going to be, every time he breaks it, it's going to be a house call. So there's that issue, sure. But he does have decent enough speed, and it's good enough to get him chunk yardage a lot. He has good enough strength. He's a good to great receiver. He's in that kind of tier. He has great acceleration. The cons, I bring up the cons for every rookie just because you have to know what you're getting. His ball security needs work. I mean, you can say that about Jonathan Taylor, and that's true about Jonathan Taylor. Everybody's always like, his ball security, he sucks. He fumbles too much. DeAndre Swift fumbles a decent bit too. So, I mean, it's not really like it's only Jonathan Taylor. DeAndre Swift also fumbles a little bit, but it's not a huge issue to where it'll be a massive boon to him being successful. He is not a bruising back, so he won't really be used in those short yardage situations, but he won't need to be if he's getting 5 yards a carry and making every single first down within the first two plays of the drive, or first two plays of each or set of downs. And he does have some injury concerns. He didn't miss much time in college, but there was always that talk of him having a nagging injury almost every single game. He was listed on an injury report, and then he suited up to play. So he does have that issue. You could say that he might be an injury concern if those get worse. But as of right now, they aren't bad enough to hold him out. So we'll have to see.
Let me check right here. Let me give you guys a reference point. I'm hooked up with an absolutely amazing doctor, Ethan Turner. I had him on my podcast a little while ago, and he has a rookie injury guide. If you guys don't have it, go grab it because it's huge. It tells you, he has it in perfect, just like beautiful format, all the injuries for all of the rookies. He has a point scale put on them and the injury history that goes back on it. And if you guys buy it, it's $10. I understand paywalls are kind of shitty, but, I mean, this one is one of the ones that's worth it. If you guys grab it, he's going to put updates on it throughout the season with every single one of these guys' injuries that update and how it affects it. The guy is just an absolute genius. So I'm going to go look up so we can get a reference on Swift's injury history for that.
Yeah, definitely. That'd be awesome. And just one thing I want to say to the Kerryon versus Swift. Nick's right. It's pretty clear cut that Swift should be ranked ahead of Kerryon here. Mm-hmm. But I will say the one thing. If you want to buy Kerryon, like Nick's kind of pushing here, this is probably going to be the cheapest you get him if he does succeed. If he obviously is a bust, you could probably get him cheaper in a few years for like pennies. But you know what I mean? If you like Kerryon, now's probably going to be the cheapest you can get him to the point where he'll succeed. So right. I really like that. I really like the point you're trying to make. I'm not the biggest Kerryon guy myself, especially with the durability, but, you know, it matters. So
Swift has a 4.25 ranking on his out of 10, and it shows a moderate risk for him. It talks about a left shoulder contusion in 2019, an ankle sprain, groin strain, and groin strain in 2018, and an undisclosed injury in 2017, accompanied by an ankle sprain in 2016. So, I mean, that's all kind of the stuff that you can get. I mean, I'll actually show it right here so you guys can see the way that it's broken down and everything. Mm-hmm. It's Ethan Turner on Twitter, and he is with I can't even remember his unit that he's with right now. But it's Ethan Turner on Twitter, and this stuff, guys, it's one of the best made packages that I've ever seen. So I'm super impressed with it. Just figured I'd throw that out there because it's super valuable information, you know?
Yeah, no, definitely, really, really is here. You can follow Ethan Turner on Twitter if you want, at @eturnerff_pt. If you're interested in doing that, he's with the Fantasy Headliners. So I just yourself.
Yeah, hell yeah, man.
That was really pretty. So, awesome. Yeah. Thank you for that little nugget. We appreciate it. It turned less into Swift and Kerryon instead of maybe more of a Swift and Kerryon. I should buy them both.
But yeah, I mean, that's kind of how I thought it was going to go. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a more, you know, what are the pros of both? Because everybody knows that Swift is better than Kerryon.
Yeah, let's not waste our time with that. But here, this is going to be the most debated one, I feel like. I know you guys are both big on these guys. I kind of don't like them both. I might just spectate here and let you guys duke it out. But our final debate topic here is going to be Darius Slayton versus Mecole Hardman. I want to mix it up, and I'm going to let Trenton started off here. I feel like Trenton should be the one here since this is such a topic he wanted to do. Let's hear it, Trenton. You guys duke it out. I'm just going to sit back and drink my water.
All right. I love Darius Slayton. You all know I love Darius Slayton here on the Fantasy Flipper podcast. You've heard it before. Here I'm going to give you some numbers. I tweeted about this a few months back before the draft. So it's not really high up on my Twitter, but if you scroll, you can find where I said He had 9 games last year where he played at least 70% of the snaps. So you extrapolate those to a 16-game slate. He had 66 catches on 117 targets for 981 yards and 11 touchdowns. That's insane. I think in PPR, that puts him at the wide receiver 17. And in non-PPR, that puts him right about wide receiver 11, I think is where he was. So he is up there in those in that 16-game slate. Competition-wise, he does have Sterling Shepard. He has Golden Tate. He has Evan Ingram and Saquon Barkley. Sterling Shepard and Golden Tate are the two really ones I'm going to talk about because those are the other wide receivers. Ingram is going to get his. Barkley is going to get his. But those three wide receivers are the really interesting ones. Darius Slayton, in my opinion, is the wide receiver one on the offense. Because you look at Sterling Shepard, sure, he did good in those few games he played, but he's a huge injury risk. He can't stay on the field half the time. So that's kind of worrisome to me. And you have to look at that. You have to consider that. And then you look at Golden Tate, kind of the same deal. He gets injured a decent bit. And at the same time, he is also getting up there in age. He's getting older. Dylan did mention to me earlier that he is on a 3-year contract, I believe, with the Giants, Golden Tate.
I think he's under contract for three more years, yeah.
Yeah, and he's like 30, I think. So
way older than 30.
I don't even know anymore. I'm just remembering back when he was with Calvin Johnson. But you're looking at him, he's getting up there, and even though he has that 3-year contract, he won't be there long. I think they either trade him, they might cut him, or he might even move back into more of that depth role, that like wide receiver 4 role. We'll have to see where that goes. I want to bring up a crazy stat, though, because I love this statistic. I push it everywhere I can. There were 2 wide receivers in the NFL last year that had 3 games of multiple touchdowns. One was Chris Godwin, the breakout wide receiver that everybody loved last year. I absolutely loved him. The whole Fantasy Flavor podcast was pushing him last offseason. We loved him. The second guy is Darius Slayton. He had 3 games of 2 touchdowns. And, I mean, you look at the rest of that list of guys that had 2 games of 2 more touchdowns. You have some really good names. You have, I believe, DeAndre Hopkins. You have Mike Evans. You have a lot of big names. You have some other decently not so big names, but all of the really names that are up there are somewhat that they aren't. None of those names that are up there are bad. All of those names that you look at are good wide receivers for fantasy football. So he's really fitting into that. So for the long-term outlook, I do see him as the wide receiver 1 for the Giants long-term. And what's really understated about this is Daniel Jones, that quarterback. He had 3 games of 4 or more touchdowns. So, I mean, that's insane for a rookie. He progressed steadily. Over his last, I believe, 7 games of the season, he had 18 touchdowns to 5 interceptions. And sure, he has that fumbling issue, so that's like everybody hates him because of those fumbling issues. That doesn't mean anything really much in the passing game because he's going to be throwing the ball, and if he fumbles, it doesn't matter. It doesn't hurt the wide receivers. So if anything, it helps him if he fumbles because it puts them down a few scores and they have to pass more. So he's going to get volume. He's going to be the wide receiver 1, and I just absolutely love Darius Slayton, especially where he's being drafted currently.
I hear you. I'm not down on Darius Slayton, and I don't think that he's a bad guy. I think that he's definitely the number. I wouldn't say that he's hands down the number 1 because I think a healthy Evan Ingram is the number 1 in their passing attack. I think that he is a better just weapon all around than Darius Slayton is. But how does it feel knowing that Darius Slayton did marginally better as the number 1 in a passing attack than Mecole Hardman did as the number 5? I mean, it's rough thinking that a number 1 in that offense did marginally better than Mecole Hardman as the number 5. And I'm being a little bit tongue-in-cheek here, but Mecole Hardman outshone DeMarcus Robinson last year. He almost, in a rookie season, showed out better than Sammy Watkins did. If Sammy Watkins wouldn't have performed in the playoffs, I think that we'd be talking about Mecole Hardman as the number two in that wide receiver attack, aside from Travis Kelce, obviously. We're talking strictly wide receivers there. And the fact that Sammy Watkins can be dropped after 2020, the fact that he has outshone DeMarcus Robinson, the fact that Patrick Mahomes is – can we cuss on this podcast?
Yeah.
Motherfucking Patrick Mahomes. Like, the fact that he is who he is just means that being a wide receiver on his team – and inching your way up farther and farther on the depth chart just makes you such a valuable asset. And I think he's better than DeMarcus Robinson. There's no questions asked about that. He showed that last season. And I honestly think, with the exception of the playoffs, Sammy Watkins fell off for most of the year. You know, the one thing that you can't teach in the NFL is speed. And Mecole Hardman has that in spades. If you go look at the target separation between him and Darius Slayton had 1.16 yards of target separation, and Mecole Hardman had 2.02, because the guy's a burner. He gets it done that way, and he has a quarterback to be able to supply him with that. I'm not convinced that Daniel Jones is the quarterback that we're making him out to be. We have 1 year of production off of him, and it doesn't impress me much. Shania Twain, shout out.
But going back on that, you said he was the fifth option in that passing game last season, mm-hmm. compared to the number one for Darius Slayton. This season, he's still going to be the fifth option.
We're not expecting an increase after he showed up his rookie season in receptions, in everything. I mean, he outshone DeMarcus Robinson. We're saying that he's not going to get more targets than him. Sammy Watkins.
More targets than DeMarcus Robinson.
So he's up to four.
Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins, Travis Kelce, and then they just added Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He's going to command volume.
Yeah,
I do. I do think he's going to command volume in the passing game, at least more than Damian Williams. Overall, that running back room is going to be the fourth option in that offense, probably.
And a healthy Saquon won't take passes away from Darius Slayton. A healthy Evan Engram won't take passes away.
They will. But he's still that number one wide receiver compared to the number three wide receiver for Mecole. You have a running back and a tight end.
He said number three. You heard him. Okay. He said number three.
Okay. I heard.
For the wide receiver room. You take away the tight end and running back position. Look at just the wide receivers.
Right.
You have Sammy Watkins and Tyreek Hill both above Mecole. Nobody above Slayton.
I will say this, and I understand that there's no basis for this. We're making predictions. That's what we do in fantasy football. But I'm telling you that I think that there is a legitimate chance that Mecole Hardman usurps Sammy Watkins this year. I understand that Sammy is, you know, the name that we've seen floating around the fantasy football ether for years. But he has shown that he has the ability to fall off, that he has the inability to stay healthy. And I think that Mecole Hardman could legitimately make that year two step to pass him in the passing attack. Now, I agree with you. Tyreek Hill is going to be the leader. There's going to be Travis Kelce who's the leader, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to be up there. But we are also going to see Mecole Hardman, I think, be the number four passing attack option there. And in a passing attack that is very realistically putting up another 5,000 yards this year, that's a good weapon to have. That leaves about 900 to 1,000 yards available.
But see, the issue with Mecole Hardman being that number two wide receiver, if he becomes that number two wide receiver, if they want to push him into that role, mm-hmm. then your top two wide receivers are the same exact type of player.
Nope.
It doesn't work. It does not work. When you're building a team, you have to have two separate types of players. You have to have either a speed guy and a possession guy, a possession guy and a route running guy, a red zone guy, route running guy, something along those lines. They have to be different. If you have two guys that are running streaks the whole time, I don't care how good Patrick Mahomes is, they'll just send four defensive backs deep and nobody will catch the ball.
I'm just saying, we thought that running backs couldn't catch the ball for years at the start of the NFL. But I mean, if you want to be stuck in the Stone Ages with the league, then you can. But...
yeah, Trent's definitely a boomer.
What do you got to add, Dill?
I don't got much to add. I get both sides here. And listen, both Darius Slayton especially had a great rookie year. Honestly, he was overall, there's a whole bunch of stats. I believe he was tied fourth in points, tied with DK Metcalf, fourth in targets, seventh in receptions, sixth in yards, right? He also averaged 2.3 fantasy points over expectation per game, which ranked fourth among rookies, right? So he had a really good rookie year. And you have to remember, even though it's like fourth in the rookies, that's not that great. This rookie class was exceptional.
Yep.
But for the Mecole Hardman side, you know, Mecole Hardman, I think he can break on and be that number two. Sammy Watkins really hasn't been special. He really hasn't stayed healthy. Keep in mind, he was going to retire for a year before he came out and like slashed his, you know, his contract in half so he could stay with the Chiefs. It's like, both are really, really good. If you prefer that alpha like Trenton wants, then take Darius Slayton. But Mecole, even if he is that maybe even fourth option, I think Clyde could get more targets. If we're looking long-term outlook, you know, take him because he tied to Patrick motherfucking Mahomes, as Nick said. That's okay, right. Like, you can't go wrong with either of them. I think both sides are good. You're both chasing different things, but they're honestly both deep threats, so they kind of play similarly in that role.
Yeah, exactly. They're both boom bust guys. So
they're both buys, in my opinion, right now. Is the number one thing that we need to focus on. We talk about these dueling players and like how they match up, how they compete, and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, we're both arguing two sides of the same coin. You know, we both think that these guys are great and they need to be buys. I was saying earlier in the article that I wrote that I would give up any 21 second for Mecole Hardman right now. You know, that's where I'm at on it, because I think that I like seen production. I like to see what you can do. I like to see the system that you're in, and knowing that you're tied to Patrick Mahomes, knowing that there are going to be vacated targets with the expiring of Sammy Watkins' contract, the fall off of DeMarcus Robinson, all of those things, a 31 year old Travis Kelce, I would give up, you know, a 21 second easy right now for him. Not a 20, a 21.
Yeah.
Make that clear.
Gotcha. All right. But with that being said here, I think we should wrap things up here. Thank you so much for Nick for coming on here. Remember, there will be another part to this on the Down and Dirty Dynasty Fantasy Football podcast, or the Triple DFFP. You can follow them on Twitter. Check them out on all podcast platforms. I'll kick it over there to Nick to explain where you can check them out there in a second. But remember, there's a whole other part, so you definitely should check it out, where we talk about three different debates, if you will. So, Nick, do you have any closing thoughts? Where can we find you once again?
No, man, just first off, thank you guys very much for having me on. It was great. You guys are super knowledgeable. I mean, you came ready to argue these points. I appreciate it, you know. And so, I mean, just a great group of guys, great podcast. Everybody, if you aren't subscribed to them already, you should be. But you can also find me at Triple D FFP on YouTube, on Twitter, everywhere. That's my name. Don't wear it out. Apparently, these guys can't remember it, but I ain't going to fault them for it. But thank you guys very much for watching, and thank you guys very much for having me on.
Yeah, you heard him. Remember to definitely check out the Down and Dirty Dynasty Fantasy Football podcast. I finally did it for you. It's a mouthful, baby, but we got here at the end of the night. So thank you so much for listening. Take care, wash your hands, stay safe, and have a good one.
Thank you guys so much for listening to today's episode. Feel free to leave feedback, subscribe, or check out our previous content. And remember, have a fantastic rest of your day.